The Lehigh Valley is full of small businesses, and the COVID-19 outbreak has wreaked havoc on owners, employees, and customers alike. One local nonprofit is leading the charge to lift up struggling locations and raise awareness of the importance of small businesses to our community. For WDIY News, James Johnson reporting. The Executive Director for the Greater Easton Development Partnership, Jared Mast, rejoins us to talk about how Easton area businesses are adapting during the coronavirus and the programs and initiatives GEDP are working on to help. Thank you for joining us, Jared.
My pleasure.
Good news is that we're now back into the green phase of PA's economic reopening.
For now.
Well, thank you for pointing that out, Jared. Please share with our listeners your opinion of the Pennsylvania economic reopening and the green phase.
Yeah, I think, you know, since this started and the governor put out these phases, that there was a desire to move through the phases and to have the rates of positive cases go down and also the mortality rates go down. That was accelerated a little bit, I think, from some political angles. But, you know, going to green has allowed certain businesses to get back to a little bit closer to kind of pre-COVID revenue levels. Same time, we're seeing across the country in the Sun Belt and in some other states that folks are interpreting green as they return to normal. And, you know, we're seeing spikes in cases in the South. And I just hope that doesn't play out in the Northeast and Pennsylvania, Lehigh Valley in particular.
How have Easton area businesses received the recommended guidelines and adopted them for customer safety?
You know, I think you have different businesses approaching the guidelines with different levels of seriousness and interpreting certain things in different ways. And I think the city of Easton has done a good job to reinforce and to clear up any misunderstandings or misinterpretations. Again, as we saw in the South, the most concerning points of transmission are folks drinking and in close proximity at bars. And Easton had some issues with that the mayor and his administration had to kind of clean up or clear up. We're just seeing how all of that plays out as we, you know, hopefully remain in this green phase.
I was going to ask, was the opening weekend a concern with the mayor's remarks regarding overcrowding, alcohol violations, and litter?
Yeah, I think there was definitely concern about how things kind of opened up in certain parts of the city and with certain businesses. And seeing a county like Allegheny County on the western side of the state prohibit all alcohol sales at bars and restaurants because of some concerns of the public health officials out there. And I think in Easton, the response wasn't as severe, but it was the same kind of concern. There was folks congregating in too close proximity and that alcohol was kind of playing a role in that kind of social environment. And I think there have been some issues with the red, yellow, green phasing terminologies that green, you know, for a lot of folks typically means go and return to normal. I saw kind of revised guidelines, actually, I think it was from NPR this morning, about red, orange, yellow, and green. And so I think just looking back, we probably would have benefited from kind of looking at the three kind of social distance phases as red, orange, yellow, and then green is kind of return to normal. But that's not the way it went.
Is there a fear of a few bad actors abusing the guidelines and lacking enforcement that could lead to a spike and potential contraction of businesses in the local area?
I do think that folks within the business community and also the healthcare community are worried about a spike and when that might occur and whether those spikes were avoidable or not. You know, I think everyone's aware that the flu season may bring with it a spike all its own, but in terms of wearing masks and social distancing and taking advantage of the seasons where we can be outside, you know, I would say those are kind of the more avoidable spikes. And, you know, I think there's a concern that we're not avoiding certain upticks in certain cities. And, you know, I think the hope for the Lehigh Valley is that with Governor Wolf's guidance and with the guidance of local municipalities that folks do continue to maintain their social distancing kind of protocols and also continue to wear masks and to kind of depoliticize that and just appeal to folks' sense of care and compassion and that, you know, this is about trying to protect the more vulnerable among us. And it's not that much to ask in terms of, at least in my opinion, from a personal freedom standpoint, to wear a mask when you're out in public.
Since you're the executive director of the Greater Easton Development Partnership, you must interface with lots of small business owners. Can you share with our listeners some of the small business owners' reactions to the phased reopening? Is it a positive reaction as far as, hey, we did the right things with this stepped and phased program, and that's why we have a very low level of new cases? We can't speak for 2 weeks from now, but you know, we have a low level and we've managed to, yes, bend the curve more than most states.
Yeah, I think there is a recognition that we didn't experience what other cities and communities experienced in terms of our hospitals being overrun with cases that required intubation or otherwise, and that, you know, we can potentially benefit from that now if we continue to maintain good practices. So, you know, I think Pennsylvania did have a fairly strong approach to kind of shut down, and, you know, the governor was pretty deliberate in opening up different counties around testing, and I think that Pennsylvania has benefited from that. I think the pain has been shared by different businesses and different, you know, by folks in the community in different ways. But retail restaurant businesses rely on some level of getting out of your house and socializing. And so going back to, you know, previous conversations, I think a lot of them, you know, kind of made the best efforts they could for delivery and curbside, and then kind of were always looking towards the potential for kind of regular dining and regular retail. You know, it's not back to normal, but, you know, the weather is what it is in the summer. And I think restaurants have been appreciative of cities closing down portions of the street to allow for additional seating. And, you know, I'm not sure how many of our businesses are approaching back their normal revenue or year over year revenue. But, you know, the outdoor dining and some of the green changes and restrictions related to the green phase have allowed them to increase their revenue over March, April, and May and June.
Is it fair to say that it has been a big help for certain small businesses?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, the outdoor dining obviously doesn't help retail necessarily, but it brings people back to the cities, and, you know, retailers can allow folks in or can do sales via their sidewalk. And so it's, the regulations allow for people to convene to a certain extent and to support local business in a way that they had previously.
Are retailers also seeing a return, or is there still not only business owner but consuming public reluctance to go out and shop in store?
I think the restaurants were the first to kind of get some bounce back. I think retailers are seeing some of it. I think folks are still defaulting to shopping online for certain things, and retail has been affected by that even before COVID. The e-commerce wave and the prevalence of Amazon and kind of the logistics improvements that allow you to get things within a day or two. I think, you know, retailers have been fighting a hard fight against e-commerce for the last few years, not longer. This has exacerbated that to some extent. But, you know, what we're seeing is some retailers continuing to focus on unique opportunities within their store, eventually get back to kind of experiential retail as the guidelines allow. Also kind of tightening up their ability to sell over the internet. You know, we at GDP have been giving out what we're calling micro grants to businesses to work with local Easton-based marketing professionals to help them with certain bottlenecks in their business operations that allow them to kind of get through this a little bit. So in some cases, that's connecting their point of sale to a website and putting their inventory online. In some other cases, it's helping kind of set up Google AdWords or SEO or, you know, different digital marketing strategies. We've also supported something called the Breakfast Club Easton Edition, which one of our business owners, Joe Moranville from the Quadrant, brought to us and said, I saw this somewhere else and, you know, we want to support some of our smaller restaurants that kind of focus on breakfast. And so they're selling a punch card to five different breakfast eateries in Easton, and they have some kind of future plans to do versions around sweets and pastry and kind of other things. So we've seen some innovation. We've supported some innovation. It's a little bit of a silver lining, and we hope that, you know, some businesses emerge more resilient from this. You know, they've secured the resources they can from the federal government or the local government or from CDFIs and partners that have been set up to kind of help with CARES funding. Also have built systems and tweaked offerings so that in March 2021, when, you know, hopefully things are back to normal with the vaccine in place, they can still sell online better. They can still work with different partners better. They know how to use Google AdWords, et cetera. That's one of the things we're focusing on now. We're kind of beyond triage and trying more to be strategic about where we're going and how we're helping businesses.
Long-term care, setting them up for success past the pandemic.
That's the hope. I mean, survival obviously is still top of mind, but then resilience and thriving after the pandemic would be the goal.
How does the Easton Farmers Market and public market and special events that you do keep customer safety paramount moving forward until we have a vaccine?
I think the Easton Farmers Market has served as a model for other farmers market in the region and also outside of the region. We moved the location from Center Square down to Scott Park to create kind of a linear pathway that allowed for social distancing and shopping to take place in a fairly controlled setting. We continue to require masks. We have limited the opportunities for ready to eat because that would require somebody taking off their mask. We have implemented new procedures for how to transact with vendors. And so I think we've been successful on that front of setting up a new kind of format for the market while also trying to support our farmers and local producers. You know, it is open air, so it's different than going to a grocery store, and I think some folks feel more comfortable with that. You know, it's also a shorter supply chain, so folks are buying meat from Breakaway Farms, let's say, they know that there's been limited touch points in getting that meat from a farm to them. And same goes for our producers of fruit and vegetables. So Shoal Orchards plants it, picks it, brings it to market, and there's no middleman or logistics supply chain that you have to kind of think through. So I think the farmers market has been leading the way on that front. The public market, we still haven't opened the Easton Public Market to the public in terms of entering the building, but we've made some investments in outdoor dining, and we've also promoted and supported curbside pickup. Most of the vendors participating have done well with that. It's fairly easy from a transactional standpoint in terms of putting an order online and coming around to pick it up. In some ways, that's a precaution on our standpoint, but it's also some folks feel more comfortable with that kind of transaction, not having to go into a grocery store.
Well, not even that. It seems like you've developed a system with the public market that you don't really need to open the doors. Or do you believe that people prefer to shop in person?
I think some folks still prefer to shop and browse and peruse offerings or to have an interaction with a staff person about recommendations or ideas. You know, when we do open the public market, we're going to open it just for counter service. We're not going to have seating inside the building. And then as things kind of continue to swing back to normal, hopefully, we'll introduce seating and try to get back to kind of where we were back in January.
Do you have a reopening date for the counter service of the interior of the Easton Public Market?
We do. Later in the month of July is when we're targeting, you know, that counter service only model.
You'd mentioned last time some GEDP programs and initiatives, including Beauty of Easton Beer and the Match campaign.
Yep.
What can you share with our listeners?
You know, we've had different programs and initiatives to support small businesses in Easton. The Beauty of Easton campaign was initially a buy one, get one gift card program. And then we had the owners of Two Rivers Brewing sign on to do a Beauty of Easton beer release. And so they released a double IPA, which folks had the opportunity to add a donation to their growler purchases. So that raised, through Two Rivers, $1,000 for the buy one, get one gift card program and some direct donations to salons in the area. And then RMG Insurance did a double match on it for $2,000. So that campaign actually raised $3,000 for small business. We've also been focused on the Easton Helping Easton initiative of technical assistance for small business and providing microgrants to small businesses to work with each other or work with other Easton businesses, marketing business or creative firms to help them through a business challenge that would help them survive this a little bit better. Another thing we're focused on right now is trying to introduce folks to Rising Tide, a regional effort to disperse funds from the CARES Act through the City Area of Community Action Committee that we have, Alley. That funding is set aside for minority-owned businesses, so specifically trying to help them reach out to minority-owned businesses in the Easton area so that they might benefit from that portion of CARES funding.
How have the protests for police brutality, social injustice, and racial equality affected Easton businesses and owners and their reaction to what's going on in our world?
You know, the protests in Easton have been peaceful protests, and Easton is a diverse community, and I think the Easton Police Department had some issues going back 20, 30 years, but our current chief Scalzo, has done a lot of good work to improve the police department in Easton, and the protests here, I think, were well attended. That's a measure that people are looking at, but didn't lead to any violence or altercations. And I think that's a testament to both the Easton community, but also to how Easton typically gathers. You know, Easton Center Square has historically been a gathering place for all kinds of things. And the Black Lives Matter protests are not an exception to that. They're kind of part of the longstanding tradition of gathering in Easton Center Square for all kinds of conversations. And I would say that the leadership in Easton is supportive of that movement and, you know, changes in in different parts of our environment or economy or, you know, political processes or the system, if you will. And, you know, I think that that's what you saw in Easton as far as the peaceful protests were concerned.
Do you see it inspire conversations in the small business community about balancing the scales? Maybe you're not involved in these conversations, so I know I'm asking you to kind of, hey, can you report on hearsay by hearsay by hearsay?
No, I mean, one thing that we've seen, and, you know, folks have reached out to me and, you know, and through different social media platforms to say, you know, what are the African-American-owned businesses in Easton? How do we support them? So I'm probably not answering your question directly, but I do think that there's been a little bit of a recognition that you can be intentional with your purchasing power. And typically what we would, our message would be to, you know, support local, support folks in your community, but there's a kind of heightened level of intentionality around supporting minority-owned businesses and recognizing that entrepreneurs of all sorts kind of put their, you know, their personal wealth on the line when they start a business, and access to banking and access to capital and kind of connectedness to different opportunities is not always there for minority-owned businesses, and that this is a time where you could be intentional and do your part to support businesses that are owned by people of color or minorities.
Small business entrepreneurship is something that happens all around our globe. Are there particular barriers for people of color starting small businesses in the United States?
Yeah, I would agree, but it's harder in certain communities and certain countries. I would just say that there's a pathway for starting a business that's easier for folks that have certain networks or social capital or whatever you want to call it, but that can make it more difficult for immigrants or people of color to start and thrive in business without some correction of that systemic racism and the kind of specifics around it.
How does the Easton community benefit from St. Luke's recent purchase of the Easton Hospital?
Well, I would say the first positive is that Stewart's threat of closing the hospital didn't happen. You know, closing community hospitals, not good for communities that they're in typically. And, you know, Wilson and Easton, and especially Easton's West Ward, benefit from a hospital being in close proximity. You know, this is now kind of a fourth step of transition for Easton Hospital, where it had been a nonprofit hospital and then was bought by CHS and then was bought by Stewart and now has, you know, been acquired by St. Luke's, which is another nonprofit hospital network. So we're happy that it's still open. We hope that St. Luke's vision for it is to make it a more connected and vibrant part of the community, and that it can be a vehicle for some shared goals around community health. And we also recognize it as an employer in the neighborhood. So the jobs that kind of live there, so to speak, are important for Easton and Wilson. I think Wilson has obviously some things to kind of figure out on the real estate tax revenue or tax revenue standpoint, as far as for-profit hospital paying tax versus a nonprofit. That doesn't affect Easton directly, but, you know, we obviously are supportive and concerned for our neighbor and hope that we all kind of come out of this in a better place. So it's really early to tell exactly what it means and what the next steps are for St. Luke's at that facility, but I think we're all trying to be optimistic that that'll be a good thing for the community.
You had mentioned trails and tourism also as an initiative. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
I would continue to promote our place on the D&L Trail, and, you know, that biking and running and outdoor activities are still a great option for fitness, and that Easton has a very unique place at the head of the Delaware and Lehigh Canals that you can either go south towards Philly or north and broken links along the way all the way up to Jim Thorpe. Even for kind of passive recreation of just a mile or two here and there, it's a great asset in the Lehigh Valley, and we are certainly intent on promoting it through this time, but also, you know, obviously into the future. Easton also has a lot of parks that allow for outdoor recreation. Unfortunately, the pools are closed, but you can still get outside safely in a lot of different parts of the city.
I've noticed all the parking lots for the trails are quite full, quite busy.
Yeah, a lot of people are using the trails, and I think, you know, some folks for the first time, I think that's a good thing. And I think, you know, the D&L has come out with some guidelines around how to be a good user of the trail during this period. And, you know, they're great public spaces to share with your regional community members.
We thank Jared Mast, Executive Director of the Greater Easton Development Partnership, for making time to inform and remind us how important small businesses are to our Lehigh Valley community. They need our support now more than ever. For WDIY News, James Johnson reporting.